church. In 1929, they started meeting in a church down behind Malmo Market. And so they've got some wonderful old hymns, but they don't have any notes. But I think we're going to have to start an archive. Just for your information, this church was organized in 1919. They met in a house first, and then in 29 they put up the building. And then in 1996, this basic building was built. And there's a booklet I put on a shelf in the entryway. If you'd like to see how they took and knocked off the top of this hill, I mean, they got with big bulldozers and then the footings and the first diggings and stuff. So if you'd like to see a history back in 96. And then in 2007, we added on the fellowship hall, which leads me to say in your bulletin, 2 weeks from now, September 13th and 14th, we have the Jamboree. And the Jamboree in your bulletin, it says it's $7. For everyone who's here today and you want to come to the Jamboree, you tell them, Pastor said, you only have to pay $5, okay? So you get in for $5. But that's, for those of you who are visiting, it's Malmo's version of Hee-Ha. And what is it? A little bit of country, a little bit of rock and roll. So some of you can do that two-step country, and some of you can do the twist. Anyway, that's we head into our fall programming. It's nice to have you here. Everyone is invited to receive Holy Communion. God would want us to join in that meal. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence in our lives. You love us unconditionally. You love us absolutely. And your Spirit is in each one of us, each part of your creation. And so awaken that Spirit this morning and allow us to come alive in you and to experience your presence. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the choir to lead us, and then we will dismiss you for a wonderful rest of the weekend. Thank you, choir. That was real nice. Let's join in singing our first hymn. Please rise and let's sing the first and second verse of hymn 887. Last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us confess our shortcomings. God, today we pause to confess our shortcomings in love and love. We want to live life to the fullest, but we always seem to become disillusioned or disappointed. We want to have deep, meaningful relationships, but we seem to short-circuit those we love with our own selfishness. God, we need the power to change, but we realize now we cannot do it on our own. We are sinful. We fall short of the mark. We ask for your forgiveness. And so hear God's forgiving promises. The God of all creation has entered our human existence in the person of Jesus Christ. Through him, our sinful condition has been given new possibilities of faith and life. By his death and resurrection, the price of our sin has been paid in full, and we stand before God as new people. The Holy Spirit is present with us and in us to give us power to live out this new life. By the Spirit, we have life. Praise God. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in the prayer of the day. O God, you resist those who are proud and give grace to those who are humble. Give us the humility of your Son that we may embody the generosity of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first reading from today is from Hebrews chapter 13. The conclusion of the letter to the Hebrews contains suggestions for the conduct of a holy life, all of which are shaped by God's love toward us in Jesus Christ. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, for For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God that is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The psalm for today is Psalm 112. We'll read responsively where you see the bold print and the bold R. Would you please respond with the refrain, the righteous are merciful and full of compassion. Alleluia! Happy are they who fear the Lord and have great delight in God's commandments. Their descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion. Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion. It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice. They will never be shaken. The righteous will be kept in everlasting remembrance. The righteous are merciful and fruit of their compassion. They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their arm is established in the
future until they see their desires upon their enemies. They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever, and they will hold up their head with honor. The wicked will see it and be hungry, and they will gnash their teeth and pine away.
The desires of the wicked will perish.
The righteous are merciful, full of compassion. Here ends the readings. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this 15th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 14th chapter of St. Luke. Jesus observes guests jockeying for position at the table. He uses the opportunity to teach his hearers to choose humility rather than self-exaltation. Jesus also makes an appeal for hosts to mimic God's gracious hospitality to the poor and the broken. On one occasion when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Our sermon hymn this morning is 888. Let's sing the first and last verse.
Thank you.
Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's been a beautiful lake and beautiful week in Lake Wobegon this week. A lot of interesting things happened in my life. Wednesday, had an opportunity to go down to Grace Lutheran Church in Apple Valley where I was asked to preach. In that church through the summer on Wednesday nights, they reenacted or had the best songs from all Broadway stage plays. And they asked me to preach on Les Miserables, Victor Hugo, 1,200 pages if you ever read the book. Most of you have seen the movie or seen the stage play. I'd like to say you've seen the movie, now read the book. Anyway, story about Jean Valjean, who comes from nowhere, out of nothing, and ends up stealing the communion plates from a cathedral. And when he's hauled in front, the bishop gives him the candlesticks, and it's a story of his rise and how he grows in his love for humanity and how he sacrifices and so on. But the music was tremendous. The voices they had singing. They asked me to preach, and the song before was Valjean's soliloquy or song about young Marius, who he had to carry through the sewers to safety, and his song is a prayer to God to save this young boy and take him instead. Jesus theme, basically. Anyway, when I got up to preach, tears running down my eyes. I'm thinking, holy smokes, what are you singing that good for? Because, you know, I'm just wiped out. Anyway, it was a wonderful service. Then the next morning, I had people asking me from the Romeo group, our men's Bible study, did you read the letter to the paper? I says, no, I haven't read the paper. Evidently, if you get the Isle Messenger, church down in Isle, the pastor had their Bible study read an article that I had written in July, and kind of pinned my ears back because I spoke against taking the Bible literally. Now, I love the Bible. I believe the Bible. The Bible has helped me, and it talks about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and it's our guide through life. But I don't take the Bible literally. And where that came from, in my article, I have a Baptist preacher friend, Louis, who we've always go back and forth and discuss what's what. And one day, he's a biblical literalist. He takes every word as truth, as fact. And I said, Louis, in 2 Kings, King David is told to fight the Philistines, and it says that he slew 3,000. What if the writer only exaggerated a bit and he only killed 300? And Louis, my biblical literalist friend, pastor friend, says, well, then I'd have to quit the pulpit and stop preaching, because if you can't believe everything that's in the Bible, then, you know, then you don't got no authority. I says, well, what if it was only 2,999? Same thing. So then I said, we have these ongoing conversations as we walk the golf course. One day I asked him, Louis, remember the story where Jesus rises into heaven, the last chapter of Matthew 28. He gives the Great Commission, and then you read a little farther, he goes up to heaven, according to Matthew, and it says that some of his disciples there doubted. But if you read the Greek, there's no some, it's all of them doubted. Now these were, and I'm telling him as we're walking down the par 5, I says, Louis, is it all of them doubted, like the Greek? Or is it some of them doubted? And what's this business about doubting? How can you be so certain it was 3,000 and these are doubting? And so we joust and parry and joust and parry. And it's not about how many David killed or how many were fed at the feeding of the 5,000, unless you read it's Luke and he says it's feeding of 4,000. Anyway, it's not important about the number, but it's the fact that God is present and God is there and God works with people and God lives in us. And anyway, my ears were pinned back. I was taken to task for mentioning that. So I want to remind you, if you read the Scriptures, and I hope you do read the Scriptures because it's a marvelous book and it's God's story, how He's worked throughout history. When we read the scripture, try and figure out what the context, how it moves in our lives, how it works in our lives, how it can help in our lives. So that was Thursday. And yesterday we did a baptism at our 5 o'clock. Little Audrey, 4-month-old Audrey June, named after her great-grandmother's. And what a little baby that was. But we had John Cozio playing the piano. And those of you who know John, I mean, he's a wizard. And we had a hymn sing last night. And I told the story about how I took care of my little grandson, who's a year and a half. Little Bodie, last week my wife and I had him for 3 or 4 days. And I was outside playing with the dogs, and little Bodie was maybe like in the back of the church, and he was down on his haunches. And he was just looking for about a minute, and I thought, I'm going to go see what he's looking at. I wandered over, and there was an anthill. And on this anthill, he was watching the ants go in and out and in and out. And then he takes his little finger, and I'm amazed at how small his hand is. Just this little guy, this little hand. And he reaches out and he puts his finger very lightly on an ant. And he lifts it up and that ant goes up and down the hole. And then he takes that little finger 30 seconds later and he draws a line in the sand and feels the grains of the sand. And it's a straight line. And I'm thinking, what's this little guy thinking? And then he puts a little sand in the hole to see what happens with these little ants. And finally he goes, see ya! But it reminded me, we got ants in our garden, you know, and they dig around the food, and I take some of the garden, we bring it to the veggie stand, and the deer get in the garden, and the rabbits get in the garden, and the ants and the birds are in the garden. I bring some of the fruit to the veggie stand, and each one of those vegetables goes here and there. And the world is fed. And it reminds me that the Spirit of God is in every bit of His creation. The Spirit of God is in every ounce of His creation. That little ant, to that little guy with the hand, to that little baby that was baptized, to me, to you. At the service on Wednesday night, the pastor, as he was doing introductions, he said something that I'll never forget. He said, was wondering whether we should go to war, whether we should drop bombs in Syria. And he said, as proud as we are of our country, and as much as we think God is with us, God in heaven, or wherever He is, looks down, and He doesn't see border lines. He sees His creation. He sees His love is in everybody around the world. And He says He wants us to take care of everybody. You don't have to be only proud of your country. But God loves all of His creation, and you and I are called to take care of it. So I asked the question, why do we have to drop a bomb? I mean, what good will it come from it? Now, I know that there are little kids and others being burned by whatever kind of bomb they're dropping in there. They're gassing their kids. And I know that's terrible, I know that's bad, and I know you got to protect the underdog. That's what our lessons say. On the other hand, I know that you don't win anybody's heart by dropping bombs on them. And I don't have the answers. And this is a difficult world we're living in. But I think it's important for us to do the thinking and chew on it and talk about it and examine where we are. But we should remember that God loves all of His creation. One last story, a verse that's become very important in my life. It's found in the first chapter of St. Mark. Jesus has been baptized. He goes out into the wilderness to be baptized. He spends 40 days and 40 nights, or maybe was it 39? Could he live? It's 40 days and 40 nights. So sorry. It's not important. He goes out there and fasts and prays. And the Holy Spirit comes upon him. And the first words he says when he comes out is, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. Now that doesn't, you know, just as a sentence, it doesn't mean much. But when you dig into it, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That means it's present in Jesus there. That means it's present even here. It's at hand now. Heaven isn't something you go to if you behave yourself and cross the D's and T's and dot your I's and go to heaven there. Heaven is present here and now. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now. So we can have glimpses of heaven right now. Like when I saw my little grandson moving that little sand around. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. I hate that word repent. Because repent, I get the picture of that old cartoon, you know, with that old man standing on the corner. Sign repent, and then the idea is if you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. If you don't behave, you're going to go to hell. Well, I got to admit, I haven't done so well some days. Right, Joyce? Neither have you, Joyce. No. And neither have the rest of us. But repent just means change your thinking. The kingdom of heaven is here and now, available to us. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now, if you keep your eyes open in every conversation, in every meeting, every place you go, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Change your thinking is what it means. Change your thinking about it. And believe. Believe it. Smokey. Believe it. Martin Luther said, I believe, help thou my unbelief. We still have doubts and it's okay. God never talked about those who doubted, but he did come down on those who were so sure that they had it right. And that's what our lesson is about, a little bit of humility. I don't have all the answers. I'm just trying to figure out life like you are. I'm glad you're here today because we can say our prayers and invite the Spirit of God, take the communion into ourselves. And in some mystical way, the Spirit of God is alive in us. So it gives you something to think about this week. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us all. Amen. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering as I prepare communion. Please rise. Let us turn to the offertory prayer on page 4. Let's join together in prayer. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let's join in confessing our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. The living. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. O wise and wonderful God, continually turn the hearts of your people back to you. Mold the church to be your gracious, merciful, and righteous presence in the world. Hear us, O God. Fill all banquet tables with the bounty that you raise up in your creation. Feed all people with food that will sustain them, even as you feed them with your compassion. Hear us, O God. Send your spirit of humility to the halls of legislation, governance, and justice in every land. Stir up in leaders and citizens a will to serve, and let your peace reign. Hear us, O God. Raise up people who will extend your hospitality to those in prisons, in hospitals, and in situations of abuse. We especially remember in our prayers those brothers and sisters who are hurting and need your healing. We remember Bob Vorlachek, Mary England, Dean and Linda Newman, Ron Hess, and all those others in our lives who need your healing touch. Give to all who suffer your lasting comfort. Hear us, O God. Inspire contentment in all who have employment. Grant your provision to those who are unemployed or underemployed. Create new opportunities for all to earn their livelihood. Hear us, O God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your presence in our lives, for your Spirit that lives and moves through us. Use us this week to be vessels of your love. We thank you for our new sister in Christ who joined us through baptism, little Audrey Peterson. Raise her up to be strong in faith. Watch over and protect her always. We thank you for all the good that will be done through our veggie stand. Thank you for the hands that brought food, the people that served, and all who will receive the benefits of the money that was raised this summer. We ask your blessing to be with all kids who started school this week. Be with their teachers, grant them patience, and let them love those kids and know that they're important. Keep them all safe in your kingdom. Remembering the saints who pointed us to Christ in the past, we beg for his presence among us today, while we long for the day when he will make all things new. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, O Holy One, we entrust all for whom we pray, confident in your abundant and abiding mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join together in the prayer our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So we gather at this holy table. Jesus gave us what we call a sacrament. A sacrament is something that was commanded by Jesus. He commanded us as often as we eat bread and drink wine to remember who he is and what he's done for us. And in some mystical way, he's present here. And he will lift us up. He will forgive our sins. He will give us courage and hope and love. He will take care of us. As often as we do this in remembrance of him. Sacrament, commanded by Jesus, using earthen materials, bread and wine, to strengthen our faith, to feed our life, to grow in Christ. So we gather and take this communion. At that last supper that he ate with his disciples and family and friends, the Passover, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So we are forgiven. We are renewed. We have new life. When we step out of here, we are new people. The table is set. Come, eat and drink. We'll invite this side first. If you are gluten intolerant, please let me know and I'll serve you that. If you'd prefer grape juice, that's the light liquid in our bowl. Please be seated. Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join in the prayer after communion. Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift, faith toward you, and in fervent love toward one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace, serve the Lord. Our closing hymn is 890. Let's sing the first and last verse of "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory."